Dearly beloved in Christ, today being the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, I wanted to speak on a few virtues that we need to carry our crosses beneficially and the importance of carrying the cross in general. It is important to remind ourselves from time to time that Christ said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Primarily, of course, this theme is focused on during Lent. But the resolutions we made during Lent, the ones that really benefited us, those should stay with us throughout the year. And we might be reminded of our New Year's resolutions as well. Have you been faithful to them? But it is important to remind ourselves of the cross throughout the year because it's easy to lose sight of the goal. We get distracted with many things in this life, and indeed we must take care of much. There are many tasks that demand our attention and even perhaps absorb all our physical and mental powers. But the saints were the masters of this. They accomplished many great deeds, fulfilling their earthly duties as perfectly as possible, and yet at the same time maintaining their focus on the end that really matters, that is, getting to heaven. We can use today's feast as a day to call back to our minds the truth and privilege that we as followers of Christ have taken up our crosses and have begun to walk in his footsteps. But there are others in the world who do not understand the wisdom of the cross, the glory of suffering for Christ. In fact, they would sneer at or ridicule the very idea. To them, this world is all that there is to live for, a sad mentality and a poor substitution, to be sure. But we know the truth of it. Let us not be afraid to make known our ideals and the wisdom of the cross, which is the wisdom of Christ. St. Paul said, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the prudence of the prudent I will reject." And again he says to the Corinthians, "But we, for our part, preach a crucified Christ, to the Jews indeed a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness." He says a stumbling block and foolishness to the worldly, and this is because what Christ taught us, what our faith teaches us, sets us free. But to those who reject Christ and his church, they cannot bring themselves to embrace the cross, nor can they understand the absolute blessing that it is to carry the cross with Christ. But by the grace of God, and by accepting the cross with faith in Christ Jesus, they can learn to love the cross and thus to love God. One author says, "From being an object of shame and merely an instrument of ignominious torture and death reserved for slaves and infamous evildoers, Jesus changed the cross into a symbol of honor and blessing, which even kings wear about their necks and on their crowns. It has become for mankind the glorious sign of mercy and salvation, distinguishing God's temples of earth, embellishing sacred vestments, and serving as the instrument of divine power, even to the working of miracles. Not because it had any merit of its own as a symbol, but because God deigned to elevate it by carrying and dying on the cross and thus exalting the simple symbol of the cross. In all your private rooms, there should be a crucifix, or at least a cross, in a becoming manner. And the cross should also occupy a place of honor in one of the main rooms of the home. The physical symbol of the cross should be dear to the heart of every Catholic. But likewise, should the burden of the cross be a joy and a thing dear to the heart of the Christian. Of course, we all have different crosses. They come in all shapes and sizes. The author quoted above says, "When suffering and trial come to you personally, try to greet them cheerfully and manfully in a spirit of faith, as if coming from the hand of God. And as long as God permits such trials, unite yourself in spirit with your suffering Savior, relying on his merits to give you the patience so necessary for you." And to emphasize the last part of the quote, I want to highlight that he said, "relying on the merits to give you the patience so necessary for you." And the key word is patience. It is important to cultivate and necessary if we are to succeed in carrying any cross at all. Enduring necessitates patience. Tanquary gives us 3 degrees of patience that correspond to the 3 stages of the spiritual life: the beginner stage, the intermediate stage, and the expert stage. At the beginning, he says, suffering is accepted as coming from God, without murmur, without resentment, in the hope of a heavenly reward. It is accepted in order to atone for faults and to purify the heart, in order to control ill-regulated tendencies, especially sadness and dejection. It is accepted in spite of our natural repugnance, and if a prayer goes up that the chalice pass away from us, it is followed by an act of submission to the will of God. So that's the beginner stage of patience, and now he goes into the intermediate. Patience in its 2nd degree makes us eager to embrace suffering in union with Jesus Christ, and in order to make us more like the divine model. Hence, the soul is fond of following him along the sorrowful road that he took from the crib to the cross. It contemplates him, praises him, and pours forth its love upon him in all his sorrowful mysteries, at his entrance into this world when he emptied himself, in his resignation within the lowly crib that was his cradle, and wherein he suffered even more from the insensibility of men than from the cold and the elements. Amidst the sufferings of his exile, the menial labors of his hidden life, the work, the fatigue, and humiliations of his public life, but above all, the physical and moral tortures of his painful passion. Strengthened by the words of Saint Peter, Christ, therefore, having suffered in the flesh, be you also armed with the same thought. The soul takes courage in the face of pain and sadness. Side by side with Jesus, it tenderly stretches itself forth on the cross for love of him. With Christ, I am nailed to the cross. When sufferings increase, a loving, compassionate glance upon the crucified Christ brings the response from his lips, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake. Then the hope of sharing in his glory in the heavenly places renders more bearable the crucifixion undergone in union with him. We suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. And then Tanquary explains the 3rd practice, the most perfect form of the virtue of patience. This kind of patience is practiced by those deeply experienced in the spiritual life, those who would with love embrace the cross with Christ. He says, this leads us to the 3rd degree of patience, the desire and love of suffering for the sake of God, whom one wishes to glorify, and for the sake of souls, for whose sanctification one wants to labor. This is the degree proper to perfect souls, especially to apostolic souls, to religious, to priests, to devout men and women. Such was the disposition that animated our blessed Lord when he offered himself as victim at his entrance into this world, which he experienced in proclaiming his desire to suffer the baptism of his passion. And I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Out of love for him, in order to become more like unto him, perfect souls enter into the same sentiments. For in the words of Saint Ignatius, just as men of the world, who are attached to the things of earth, love and seek with great eagerness honors, good name, and display among men, so those who march ahead in the ways of the Spirit and who earnestly follow Jesus Christ, love and ardently desire whatever is opposed to the spirit of the world. Evidently, it is only love for God and for the crucified Christ that can inspire a like love for the cross and humiliations. So we see how intimately tied up patience is with carrying our crosses. Humility and resignation, too, are most important. If we were to carry our cross, but we were proud, we wanted others to see our good works and efforts, those graces would be snuffed out by our own pride. If we carried the cross, but we were not resigned to the will of God, we might grumble or complain or even allow anger toward God to fester in our hearts and thus lose the merit of our sufferings. We really have so much to suffer in this valley of tears. Let us not waste the crosses that we have by lacking the proper dispositions. But there are many joys in this life too. And as mentioned earlier, the cross itself becomes a joy to us if we but learn to bear it in union with Christ, in all patience, humility, and resignation. We adore thee, O Christ, and we praise thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.